Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
A very good evening to all of you. Goeienaand almal. Hoe gaan dit met julle? Ek is baie bly to be here. It's just wonderful to see so many familiar faces. I've got our intercessors here, Leon and Lorna. From Mullen, please stand up. Stand up, Leon. Stand up, Lorna. Give them a huge clap. That's right. They're heading up a lot of prayer warriors that are praying for us all over the world. Tommy Vogt, please stand up. This man goes with me everywhere, pays his own way. Collected me at the airport. We'll stay together in the hotel at O.R. Tambo tonight. Catch the first plane out tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll be in Bloemfontein. Wow. Sunday, we'll be at Mighty Men, Gouveld. Next Wednesday, we'll be in Potchefstroom. On Friday, we were at Johannesburg University, UJ, with this fantastic band. Give them a big clap, please. Hey, it was amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And before that, we were at Stellenbosch. We had an amazing encounter with God. 6,000 students, jam-packed in there. God just moved. You know, right at the end, they brought a man up in the wheelchair. We'd already dismissed the crowd. This man had been injured in a motor car accident. He hadn't walked for 2 years. We prayed a simple prayer over him, and he got up and he walked. You know, Jesus Christ honors faith. Jesus honors faith. He honors faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get to the point tonight. I think you know me. And I'm not going to play around because there's no time left to play. I really believe we've got one more chance as the church in South Africa to stand up and be counted. Otherwise, we're going to regret it. And I don't want your young child coming to you one day and say, Dad, Mom, did you have an opportunity to speak about Jesus in public, and you're going to have to say yes. And then he's going to say, but why didn't you do it? Because we can't anymore. This country belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen! I can hear one or two mighty men in the front, but the rest of you, I don't know where you come from. Now, you know, when you say amen, brother, the devil pays no attention to you. But when you say amen like a Zulu, and you say, amen, the devil takes a few steps back. 1, 2, 3, amen. Oh, we'll work on it, don't worry. We'll get it right by the end of the evening. My wife Jill sends her love to you. She's praying for you at home as I speak to you now. I told her, Jill, start praying at 5 o'clock and don't stop until midnight. I only have to catch my plane at 7 o'clock tomorrow, so this could be a very interesting evening. But don't worry, Tani. Don't worry. Blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back again. And I'm hoping Philip's going to invite me back again. Let's just pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given to me and all these blessed folk to meet together in your name tonight from different denominations, different backgrounds, different age groups, different genders. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd watch over the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your agricultural manual with you, you're laughing, eh? This is the book that tells me to love my wife. This is the book that tells me to respect my elders. This is the book that tells me a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. This is the book of life. This is the book that sets the captives free. This book is under more pressure now than ever before in the history of the church. This book. I was told on first account just the other day. It makes me want to cry, folks. That major theologians did not want me at a certain campus because they said he believes that the book of Genesis is divine from God. And we know it's just a fairy tale. These same men told this man, we don't want him here because he believes in disciplining children. See? But this book says a good hiding will not harm your child. In fact, one day it might save his life. Jesus said, if you take one tittle or one dot out of this book, every plague in this book will come upon you. And why some of us here, even tonight, have got no power in our lives is because we don't believe that this book is divine, written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? Exactly. I know I'm speaking to the converted here tonight, but tonight I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to ask you, what are you doing about it, sir? You know what they say? In order for evil to abound, all that good people have to do is nothing. These same theologians I'm talking about on one of the campuses said we don't want Angus Buck in there because he believes that the man is the head of the home. Folks, I'm talking about fundamentals here. This is not extreme, or this is just normal Christianity. These men have got probably more letters after their name than you can believe. These are some of the fathers of some of the biggest denominations in this country. I'm not talking about communists or Muslims. I'm talking about people who call themselves leaders of the church. We don't want Angus back in there because he does not believe in gay rights. I don't believe in it, folks. You know why? Because it's not in the book. That's why. I love homosexuals. And I love lesbians. But I cannot condone their lifestyle because it's contrary to God's word. Can I have an amen? Now we've got to be in unity in this thing. Because already we are so quiet, it's scary. We've got to be outspoken, ladies and gentlemen. Sir, I'm not interested in your opinion. You might not be interested in my opinion. But tonight, we are interested in God's opinion. Can we give the Lord a clap, please? If I preach anything that's out of context here tonight, and I can't back it up with Scripture, I want you to stand up and challenge me. But if I'm speaking what's in the book, then you must listen. You see, I never had the privilege of going to university like a lot of you. I've been to the school of life, the school of hard knocks. That's where I learned about Jesus Christ. In my darkest moments, in the time when I was broken and finished, he was there for me. When I called upon him to bring rain because no one could put the fire out, he was there for me. When I lost my loved ones in some of the most horrific situations, he was there for me. How can I be unfaithful to him? One of the church fathers by the name of Polycarp, he said the same thing. He was 86 years old. They were taking him into the arena. They were going to burn him at the stake. They said to him, you're an old man. We don't want to hurt you. Just deny Christ and acknowledge Caesar and we'll let you go. And with tears in his eyes, he said, how could I deny God that's been with me for 86 years? And one of the men came up and he said, you know who I am, Polycarp. He was a consul. He was a traitor who'd gone over to the side of the Romans. This old man said, I know exactly who you are. You are a son of the devil. Folks, these are men that died for their faith. Tie him to the stake. Take good green wood and burn him slowly. They started the fire and they couldn't burn the man. Eventually, they got a gladiator to run up to him and take a knife and stab him through the heart, an old man of 86. His blood spouted out and put the fire out. Died. He's a martyr. There are more martyrs dying today in this age than have died since the time of Christ. Do you understand that? You know about those martyrs that died in Egypt? 21 of them in a line. You've seen the clip. All they had to do was very simple. They just had to deny Christ. That's all. Some of us today, by condoning compromised lifestyle, we are denying Christ, son. It's not about offending anybody. It's denying the Lord. When you go contrary to this word, and that's why there's no joy in your life. That's why there's no excitement in your life. That's why there's no fire in your eyes, man. Because you don't even believe the word. How do you expect God to use you? Students, I want to tell you, this is your greatest moment. Those 21 martyrs in Egypt were workers that came from Libya, I think it was. They were just ordinary. Not one of them was a priest. And I don't even know what their stand was with the Lord. I don't even know if they were baptized, full of the Holy Spirit. But I know one thing. They would not deny their faith. Those Muslims, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, I don't know who they were. They put them in a line. I've seen the video. They came with their swords, one man behind each one, on his knees. All you have to do is deny Christ and you'll live. They said, no ways. They cut their heads off one by one. Folks, I'm talking about reality here. I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago, sir. I'm talking about 2 years ago. They came to the last man who wasn't even a Christian. That's why some of us are going to wake up here tonight, man. We're gutless, man. He wasn't even a believer. And they said to him, what about you? He says, I'm following their God. And they cut his head off as well. When you get to heaven, if you get there before me, you'll see those 21 men. I'll be seated close to the Lord. Can I have an amen, please? John 16, 33. Jesus says, I've told you these things. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things. In me you'll have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never been so excited as I am tonight. I'm telling you, man, the devil is a bungbrook. We're at UCT. That's where all this unrest started. UCT. We went to the Jemison Hall. That's where they do all the capping and the gowns and everything else. Big hall. The first miracle was that we even got in. That was the first miracle. When I was in the middle of the preaching, there's a glass door at the back, and I saw a lot of movement at the back. I thought it was maybe more people wanting to come in. No, it was protesters. And they were making a lot of noise outside. And they weren't political protesters. They were protesting about feminism. What does that mean? Well, I learned at UCT. It means that men and women are equal. God forbid. My wife is beautiful. She's feminine. She's the love of my life. I'm masculine. I don't look pretty, do I? These aren't wrinkles. These are war maps. And that's what they were demonstrating out. You know what this is what I love about these young guys. You know what they do? They don't leave it like us older guys. Oh, just leave. No, no, no. The young organizers, the students, they went out. And they said to the protesters, come in and join Angus. They would not come in. The devil is a coward. I want you to remember that tonight. The devil is a coward. When you confront the devil, he's like a bully. He backs off every single time. But as long as you cowtail to him, he will destroy your life. He will destroy your personality and your character. He'll take any bit of courage you've got out of you. We need to stand up tonight. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, auntie. We're fighting against the principalities and the powers of the air. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah, man, I'm excited. I want to ask you one question. And this is the question I've been asking in all the campuses. And this is especially for students. What is the meaning of life? Ask yourself that question. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? For what was I born? See, I was going to America in September. We've been going to America now for 4 years, and things are stirring up. It is amazing what God's doing there. I felt the Holy Spirit say, not this year. This year you stay at home. He gave me a scripture in Esther chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Maybe it was for a time such as this. I firmly believe, young ladies, young men, this is your time. This is your time to stand up and be counted. We were at UJ on Friday night. There's the band. They're my witnesses. I think it was 95% black people. Is that right? And I tell you what, those guys were so on fire, man, I could hardly preach. They were so excited. Tommy had to pull me off the platform because I would have missed my plane. I got there late anyway. Because I was in Pietermaritzburg at 8:45 in the morning, and the plane broke down. These young students were sitting there from 12:15. Is that right? That's the longest praise and worship time you've ever had in your lives, isn't it? Because they carried on praising God and testifying until 1:30. I want to know how many guys of my age group would sit there and wait for a speaker from 12:15 to 1:30 on a Friday afternoon. They were there. Can you give them a big clap, please? That's commitment. That's commitment. Never moved. Had an unbelievable time. You know why? Because these people want the truth. Young people want it straight. Is that right? Can I have an amen from the young people? Amen. 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 You want the truth. You want it straight and you want it pure. Well, I'm here to give you the truth. What is the meaning of life? You see, a lot of you here tonight, not just the young people, if I said to you, what do you want in your life, son? Well, Mangus, I want to be happy. I just want to have peace in my heart. That's all I want. I just want to have purpose. I just want to have a reason to live, Uncle Angus. I just want to know why I'm here. When you find the meaning of life, all those things will automatically be added to you. See, if you're looking for peace, you'll never find it, because it's a byproduct of the real thing. When you find the meaning of life, then peace comes into your heart. When you find the meaning of life for yourself, then you become joyful. Young lady, you're a beautiful young girl. You know, God made you in His own image. You are indeed. Is that your boyfriend next year? Are you married? Well, move over a bit, man. Yeah, behave yourself, boy. Yeah, what are these young people coming to? Is that your girlfriend? Your wife? Okay, you can carry on. Amen! You see, when I go overseas, they ask me what my qualifications are. And that's a big problem, because I've only got a standard 8. I'm a grade 10 specialist. See? But seriously, I say, my qualifications? I'm married to one wife. Let's give the Lord a clap for that. One wife. Oh, yes. You see, when I said that at UJ, I got a standing ovation. Yeah, one wife. I think old Freak Robinson put me on the mat once in CakeNet. And he said to me, I said, Freak, don't ask me any difficult questions. He says, no, yeah, man, I won't ask you any difficult questions. So when we went on to the set, he said, tell me, what's your take on the president having more than one wife? I said, thanks, Freak, that's a nice one. I said, well, the Bible says. He says, no, what do you say? I looked at him in the eye. I said, Freak, I've got one wife. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Next question. I'm married to one wife. I've got 5 children that love Jesus Christ. And they are married, so I've got 10 children. I've got 10 grandchildren, and they love Jesus. I've got 27 adopted children. I've got over 230 sons that I'm mentoring. Some of them are right here tonight. Right here. That's my qualifications. Okay? That's all I've got. So I'm coming here and I'm sharing tonight from a practical point of view. Your son doesn't want to hear what you've got to tell him, my boy. Because he won't do what you tell him. He'll do what you do. So if you beat up his mother, when he gets married, he'll beat up his wife because he doesn't know any better. But he'll hate himself for it. If you get drunk every night, he'll do the same, see? Even though you tell him it's bad for you, he'll do it because that's what you do. If you hate black people, he'll hate black people. If you hate white people, he'll hate white people. Why? Because you are his father. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you find the meaning of life, your son will find the meaning of life, and so will your daughter. Okay? If your son wakes up in the morning and he sees his mother on her knees praying, and you're still lying in your bed sleeping, He will lose respect for you instantaneously. We are the head of the house. Can you give the Lord a clap, please? We are the head of the house. I make tea every single morning for Jill. You don't believe me? Phone up and ask her. Every day. I made her tea this morning. That's right. And I do wash the dishes because we don't have a dishwasher. And some character interviewing me once with the Mighty Men, I think it was on RS here, he said to me, and I think he was a bit of a, I don't know what kind of a guy he was, but he had a squeaky voice. And he said to me, do you do the housework? I said, what do you mean? Well, do you use the vacuum cleaner? I said, no, I don't use the vacuum cleaner. Ah, male chauvinist, eh? I said, no, I use a broom. We don't have a vacuum cleaner. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap, man. Jesus. Oh, I love him so much. I can feel his presence in this place right now. I can feel the Lord. You see, our Father, he's in the family business. And God's done a supernatural thing in Leon. Supernatural thing, you know. I never knew about this until a few weeks ago. He takes me to a Mighty Men conference. Okay? And I speak to the fathers. He takes me to a campus. I speak to the children. Then he takes me to a Mighty Men conference, and I speak to the fathers. Then he takes me to a campus, and I speak to the children. Is that right, Tommy? And that's what's been happening. That's a God thing. Some of those young people came to me at Stellenbosch. They said, my dad was at the Mighty Men Kurua, Uam Angus. God is doing a molding. See, when you find the meaning of life, then you start walking in the fullness of God. You see, young friend, a good idea is not always a God idea. And a need does not justify a call. You have to be where God wants you to be. We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to be intercessors. But we're all called to find out what the meaning of life is. And that's what I want to speak to you about. What is the meaning of life? Why are you here? Now listen to me. I read an article. I got a book. I was in Jerusalem in the old city. I went into a Jewish bookshop. Not Christian, Orthodox. And there's a book there called Heroic Children. 9 children that survived the Holocaust, where 1.5 million children were burnt after they were gassed in the gas chamber. 1.5 million and 6 million Jews were killed. We've got to stand up in this country for righteousness. Because what happens is people get led. Because a house painter started shouting his mouth off, and probably the strongest nation in the world followed him. And it's cost them severely. This man was a Jewish psychiatrist. And he studied these 9 kids, and he wanted to know what made them different from the other kids. And you know what it was? The very thing that's going to make a difference in your life tonight, sir, in your life tonight, madam, if you really desire to find out what the meaning of life is. One word, choices. These little kids made choices. They decided they were going to live. So when all the other little children were crying, they would laugh. When they had no food, they'd go into those pots and scrape all the food around the edges and they'd share it. They would massage each other on their backs with sand and pebbles. They would talk to each other. They made a choice that they're going to live. Joshua made a choice. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. You need to make a choice tonight. And you know why I love the Afrikaans people? I'll tell you, and I really mean this. Because the Afrikaans people are going nowhere. The Afrikaans people are not sitting on that fence, see which way the wind's going to blow. Because if it's not blowing right, they'll just push off overseas. No, because you've got nowhere to go. If you leave here, you're a refugee. Is that right? So you are in for the duration. Give yourselves a big clap. We're not going anywhere. Nowhere. Because we are Africans. That's why. Whether we're black or white doesn't matter. Listen to me. I saw something amazing at the Kuru Mighty Men. I saw the son of Idi Amin. Idi Amin was the devil himself, man. He killed 500,000 Ugandans. That's a fact. I met his son. He His name is Jaffa. He came to me. He's a huge man. He shook my hand. He says, "You're my hero, Uncle Angus." I said, "Me?" He kissed my hand 3 times. He said, "I've always wanted to meet you." I saw a man with soft eyes. He said, "I stood in front of the Ugandan people and I said, before you kill me, I want to repent on behalf of my father." God changes hearts. Come on, give the Lord a clap, folks. Change the hardest heart here tonight. You'll change the hardest heart here tonight. Some of you are here tonight. You don't even know why you're here. Your friend brought you. I'm telling you why you're here. You're here to find out what the meaning of life is. God doesn't want to take anything away from you, sir. He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I came to give you life abundantly." Do I look like I'm unhappy? I'm living my dream. My brother's known me from before I got saved. In fact, he had a lot to do with my conversion. I thought I was living. I wasn't living, Philip. I was existing. Now I'm living, my girl. Bernay, this is the beginning of the beginning. How big is God? He is as big as you allow Him to be. I was preaching in Sweden. In Sweden, have you ever been to Sweden? Most beautiful place you've ever seen. The pine trees grow naturally. You don't even have to plant them. They just grow out the ground. A dream for any forester in South Africa. The water in the lakes is so pure, you can just drink it. They build the biggest trucks in the world. The best, Scania, Volvo. They've got everything. I was there preaching the one time, and I thought to myself, what am I doing here, Lord? In Africa, we've got HIV and AIDS. We've got violence. We've got drought. We've got devaluation, we've got immorality. What am I doing here? Until the one lady came up to me and she was crying. And she said to me, "Angus, please pray for us in Sweden." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because in Sweden, we keep God in a matchbox. And every now and again, we just open it a little bit to let Him out. That means they don't need God. They think they don't need God. One thing I love about this country, we know we need God. When I go to the airports, it's black people that greet me, not white people. I love black people. I love all people. A lady accosted me almost, not quite, in the waiting room. She said, "My son, you are his hero." I said, "What is he? He's in the Eastern Cape. He's a mechanical engineer or something like that. He watches you on Grassroots all the time." I said, "Oh, ngiyabonga kakhulu. Nkosimakos." It's the love of God that will transcend all trouble. When you find the meaning of life. These little boys, these little girls made a decision. You need to make a decision tonight. What is that decision, Uncle Angus? You need to make a decision that you are going to follow Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Son, if your faith is costing you nothing, it's worth nothing. You didn't get that, did you? If your faith is costing you nothing, it's worth nothing. What's it costing you, Uncle Angus? I'll tell you what it's costing me. Time away from my wife, my best friend. Why doesn't she go with you, Uncle Angus? Because she can't keep up with me. It's a rat race. I have to change these guys all the time. I operate on adrenaline. And Sprite lemonade. Do you have any Sprite lemonade? Can you open it? Because I need some adrenaline. I want to say to you folks, you know, we're laughing, but it's not a laughing matter, is it? Thank you, Tommy. It's not a laughing matter. It's very serious. I've come a long way to see you tonight. I left. Today's Mother's Day, by the way. Let's give the mothers a huge clap. My family met together today. Leon and Lorna. I was only there for 15 minutes. And I had to leave. They were all there, the whole lot of them. Coming to celebrate Mother's Day. My mother is with Jesus. I led my mom to Jesus. One of the highlights of my life. I led my dad to Jesus. I led my brother to Jesus. And I led my sister to Jesus. I want to say something to you. You will never, ever force a person to serve Christ. If they don't see something that they want in you, why should they follow Jesus? If they see you're critical, you're negative, you're racialistic, You're greedy. You're unfaithful. Why should they want to be like you? If they see fire in your eyes, a spring in your step, a positive thought, because Jesus says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And when they say, thank you, my girl. That was a girl, by the way. And when you hear negative reports, and you hear negative reports, this country is finished, you say, not until Jesus said so. And he hasn't told me anything yet. Oh, hallelujah. Man, this is the best country in the world. Come on. Some of you here tonight are suffering from depression. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Now, depression, I want you to listen to this. D equals S plus M. Depression comes when you suffer without any meaning. Then you get depressed. Because I've got news for you. Every person in this auditorium is suffering. Every one of you. Some of you are suffering because you've lost a loved one. Some of you are suffering because your business is going bankrupt. Some of you are suffering because you're sick in your body. Some of you are suffering because your husband's been unfaithful. Some of you are suffering we are all suffering. But you see, son, when you start suffering for a reason, because you found the meaning of life, then you'll push through. Those little kids found a meaning for life. The one lady, nine of them, the one lady is one of the top violinists in the world today. She lives in Johannesburg. Another man is the top child specialist in the world. He lives in Canada. Another one lives in America. He's a multimillionaire. These same kids. What is the difference between them and the others? They found the meaning. They had purpose. Some of you here tonight have got no vision. I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. And I run. I run 4 times a week. And I don't run because I like it. I can tell you that right now. And I run with a light. Why do I run? Because in 2009, I nearly died. I had 2 heart attacks. One under the platform and one at my house. My daughter's a nurse. And she said to the family, Dad's going. Blood pressure's gone to zero. They took raw adrenaline, they pumped it into my veins to keep me alive until they could get the chopper there to take me. Some of you men, how many of you men were at that Mighty Men conference at 209? Look at them, they're full up here. Well done, boys. Because of their prayers of faith, ladies, I'm here today. God healed me in 15 minutes. You tell me God's not alive? You tell me this book is not the real deal? Come on. This is what I'm here for tonight, to tell you about the meaning of life. The meaning of life. I want to tell you what's happening in the world. They are trying to discredit this book. That's all they're doing. And some of them are theologians. See, just because you're a theologian, if you haven't met the author of this book, you are just a history teacher and not a very good one at that. I want to say to you tonight, you need to meet him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a few minutes. That's right. We're going to meet him tonight in a real way. You're going to say, Lord, I will not leave you. Can you bless me? Hey, that's what Jacob said. I won't leave you. God blessed him. There needs to be some determination in this place. I want to say to you, madam, not in all cases. I'm a farmer. I'm not a doctor. 90% of all sickness, psychosomatic, is in the mind. I'm telling you, the breeding ground for cancer, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, the breeding ground for heart problems, stress, worry. When you give that to Jesus, God will heal you. I'm not even going to pray for the sick tonight. I'm not praying for you tonight, for the sick. I'm not praying for the sick. I don't have to. If you find the meaning of life tonight, God will heal you. I promise you. I'm talking from experience. He's so real to me. He's more tangible than you sitting in that chair. Sometimes I can almost smell the fragrance of Christ. Sometimes when I'm overseas and I'm lonely and I'm missing my wife, she's my best friend, by the way. We've been married together now for over 40 years. And yet I've been a farmer, and every night I used to go home to the same bed, same farm, see the sun setting. In the morning, see the sun rising. Now I'm all over the place. I wake up, I don't know where I am sometimes. You know, it sounds so, I can see these young people so glamorous, Uncle Angus. It must be awesome. You're in Brazil, then you're in Israel, and then you're in America, then you're in Australia. It's not glamorous at all, my girl. I'd like to be back on that farm. But you see, I made a pact with God. See, I had a drought on the farm, but terrible drought. And I said to Jesus, not that you can make conditions with God. I said, Lord, you pull me through this drought. I'll preach the gospel for the rest of my life. Guess what? He pulled me through. So that's why I'm here. How can I be unfaithful to so great a God? That's why I get so angry when people try to minimize the word of God. I get angry. I think it's called righteous anger. When men who should know better start telling you, can't believe all that. That's just a general guideline. There's no power in that. I want to tell you what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three who bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was there. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. How can they tell you that this book is not for real? This book is alive. It's the same. Izolo namuhla naphakade. There's one Zulu in this place. Bless you, my girl. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You've never seen a photograph of me without this book, have you? Why should you? It's got nothing to do with me. It's all about him. So when you suffer with a meaning, then you can handle it. You can take anything. So when I get homesick and I'm in that hotel room by myself and I have maybe a little bit of a pity party, say, Lord, I'm missing Jill, man. And I get a message on the news that a family has been murdered nearby. My wife's in the house by herself. We don't have any burglar bars. You say to me, Uncle Angus, you're very irresponsible. No, I'm not. I'm doing God's will. And God's in control. And when I sit down there and I start to cry a bit and I say, Lord, I'm 20 hours away from Jill. I mean, I couldn't do anything anyway. And then this little voice just speaks into my heart. He says, Angus. So I get emotional. Can I not take care of Jill better than you? Of course you can, Lord. Can I not take care of the farm better than you? Yes, Lord. He says, I've got it under control. He says, you do what I've told you to do and I'll do the rest. I say, thank you, Lord. Close my eyes, pull the blankets over me, turn over and I go sound asleep. Wake up in the morning ready for action. Isn't that right, Tommy? Often I'll be sitting at a gate, a boarding gate. I'm tired. I've been preaching for 2-3 weeks. You've seen that, Leon. Got my boarding pass in my top pocket here. I sit by that gate and I close my eyes and I go into my postinia. A postinia is a Russian word for a hooky, where you have your quiet time. See, I can't get there, son. It's on the farm. So what I do, I close my eyes and Jesus gives me that same hooky. Would you like me to tell you about it? Would you like? That's it. Okay, listen. I love kids, man. Biggest miracle in the world is when kids listen to me. Because they don't listen to the professors. So what do? I close my eyes. There's a place in Zambia where they buried Dr. David Livingstone's heart under a tree. When he died, they cut him open. See, he had found the meaning of life. They call him the good man. The only white man's name left in Central Africa is Livingstone. Blantyre is the town that he was born in, see? They put it underneath a tree. They said his heart stays here. I've been to that place. It's in the middle of the bush. And so this is what happens. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to explain this to you. So you see, I'm in an airport. I'm in Atlanta Airport. It's just going ballistic. It's one of the biggest airports in the world. There's just noise, and I've got to sit there for an hour, and I'm going to my next preaching appointment, and I'm worn out. So I close my eyes. And then, this is not positive thinking. This is meditation. It's what Jesus did on the mountain all the time. And I walk down this path in Zambia, and there's long elephant grass on both sides of this path, and I can hear those African birds singing, that dove and that rain bird, the rain's coming. And I walk down that path by myself. And the wind's blowing. And on the left-hand side of the path, there's a big log. And I sit on that log. And then I start to speak to the Lord. And he starts to encourage me. And he speaks to me.
Angus, it's okay. You're in my perfect will. I will take care of all of your needs. You'll see your wife, I promise you. And say, Lord, and he says, it won't be long now. And I rest there, and there's a flay just in front of me, a big flay. And the wind's just blowing gently back and forwards in that flay. And I sit there for about half an hour, and then all of a sudden I hear flight number 450 going to Houston, Texas, is now boarding gate number 345. I open my eyes, I look at my boarding pass. Ooh, I stretch out. I'm fresh. I'm restored. I'm rejuvenated. I'm happy. I'm going home. And I'll go on to my next destination. Can we give the Lord a clap? What about you? What about you? What about you today? Sir, you want to experience that peace? Then you've got to find the meaning of life. Now I'm going to tell you what the meaning of life is, because some of you are getting impatient with me. I can see that. You're saying, how much longer are we going to wait for this? Well, according to the Westminster Confession, the meaning of life is two things. And you don't have to be clever to remember this, but it'll change your life. Two things. Number one, our purpose on earth is to glorify God. Isn't that beautiful? And number two is to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to say it again for the farmers that didn't understand that one. Number one, the meaning of life is to glorify God. And number two is to enjoy Him forever. How do we glorify God? By our lifestyle. By the way in which we live, by the way in which we act, by the way in which we treat our loved ones, our fellow men, by the way in which we work, by the way in which we discipline ourselves. We glorify God and we enjoy Him forever. Sir, I'm not scared to die. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is but gain. How can you frighten a Christian with heaven? If we live for Jesus. If we die, we go home. That's why I've got no more fear. We're going to sing a song in a few minutes. No longer a slave to fear. It's become my favorite song. My favorite song. Because there's a lot of fear in this country. What's going to happen? Now listen to me carefully, because I want to end now. You can't do anything about the government, because you're not in parliament. You can't do anything about the devaluation of the rand, because you're not the Minister of Finance. You can't do anything about these things because you're not in a position to. But you know what you can do? You can love your wife. You can respect your children. You can honor your fellow man. Okay? I was in London at the City Temple, just up the road from St. Paul's Cathedral. Maybe one or two of you were there that night. I don't know. I was tired. I'd had my quiet time. I'd been to my postinia. This was my last meeting. Next morning, I'm going home. I'm preaching to a lot of people, mostly young people. I wasn't even preaching about marriage. I was preaching about holiness. Holiness is the end product of obedience. When you start to obey this book, then you found the meaning of life. Simple. Nothing complicated. And I told them, I said, good people are not going to go to heaven. Don't get offended with me. It's what the Bible says. Believers are going to go to heaven. Let's give the Lord a clap. Believers are going to heaven. Not good people. Believers. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart He's been raised from the dead, I don't care what you've been doing in the past. Move on, boy. I see some guys in this place today with 50 kg bags of cement on your back. You feel condemned, don't you? Because you messed up. Maybe you've been through an ugly divorce. I don't know. Maybe you've done something you've regretted. I don't know. But I want to tell you one thing. Tonight, if you find the meaning of life, that bag of cement will fall off your back. You'll walk out this place like a new man. You'll get up tomorrow morning. You'll take on the world. I was at the Frankenstein prison. Frankenstein? Drachenstein prison. Probably you could call it the Frankenstein prison, I suppose. It was called the Victor Verster prison. I was there a few weeks ago.
I was speaking to young men that are in for life. For life. Some of them already served 13 years. These boys are from the age of 18 to about 30. I didn't know what to expect until I arrived there. I didn't know what to expect. This is the maximum security. I walked in there. I got the shock of my life. I saw young guys with fire in their eyes. They've been born again. They've met Jesus. I've never seen such joy. There's more joy in those guys than in you. And I'm saying, Lord. And they said, well, Angus, we couldn't wait for you to come. And by the way, they got the amen right. I didn't even have to teach them. Amen! That's what they said. I went into their cells. You could eat the food off the floor. The floors were shining. I looked at their beds. They got their duvets. Auntie, maybe you can show me how they did this. I don't know how they do it. The duvet is a soft thing. They had it like a fan. All the way around with pleats. They had photographs of their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister. The main MC who introduced me when I spoke to them, they got their own band. He's in there for life. I've never seen a young man so happy. He's found the meaning of life. They brought a man to my farm a couple of years ago. He stands this high. Probably you know him. His name's Nick Vujicic. He comes from Australia. He's got no arms and no legs. Nothing. He stands that high. I saw three buckies coming in. Man, I was so touched. All young people. All they do is they commit themselves to looking after him. See, he can't rub his nose. He can't comb his hair. He can't brush his teeth. He can't go to the toilet. These guys do it for him. Everything. They brought him in there. He said, Uncle Angus, I wanted to meet you. I said, you wanted to meet me? He said, yes. They put him on a table. It's not a joke, folks. When they put this man on a table, he came up to my eye level. I said, Nick, you're such an inspiration. He said, no. He says, I've watched that movie. I wanted to meet you. I said, what can I do for you, Nick? He says, Uncle Angus, I've got a sore back. I prayed for his back. God healed his back. He said to me, I want to give you one of my latest books. You see, this is a young man who's found the meaning of life, my girl. You're a beautiful girl. You've got two arms, you've got two legs, you've got eyes, you've got ears. You've got nothing to complain about. Nothing. You understand me? She understands. Same as you, my bud. All creation is waiting with expectation on tiptoes for the manifestation of the sons of God. You stand up tonight and you say, I'm going to go the whole way because I've found the meaning of life. You can change this country. Come on, give the Lord a clap, folks. They brought me a book. They brought me a book. One of his books. He said, can you give me a pen? He took the pen between his teeth. And he wrote to Angus, God bless you. I can't remember what he wrote. The most beautiful handwriting I've ever seen with his teeth. This man has found the meaning of life. He's since got married, you probably know that, to a most beautiful girl. He's got two sons. That's right. He can't even hug them. They hug him. I want to tell you something, folks. Those prisoners in jail are free. They are free because they know where they're going when they die. They've got a purpose, and I'm believing they're going to get parole and they're going to change the nation. When this country starts to find out the true meaning of life, we have got revival. And I believe it started, and I believe it started amongst the men, and I believe it started on the campuses. And we're here tonight, the Tuckies, you've got one amazing record. People talk about you all over the world. Now they need to talk about Jesus, what Jesus is doing through Tuckies. And UCT and Stellenbosch and all the others. Tonight we need to know what the meaning of life is. And God will change your life forever, sir. If he can change Idi Amin's son, make him into a man of God, he can change anybody here. There's no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If you've come here tonight and you say, Uncle, don't clap yet. And you say, Uncle Angus, I'm disqualified because I've messed up. No, you're not, sir. Jesus came for the sick. He didn't come for the healthy. Every single man in that book that made an impact was a sinner saved by grace. Saul of Tarsus was probably the top of the rank, but he died for his faith. Are you prepared to die for your faith? You see, that's the question. If you say yes, then God says, I can do something with you. Your biggest enemy, son, is self, ek, me, minor. It's not a joke. My biggest enemy is Angus Buchan. I was so scared of people, man, when I was young. I couldn't speak to more than two people. Can you believe that? If I saw a girl, I'd run a mile. Can you believe that?
I was a useless. I weighed about 50 kilos. I had knock knees. I've still got the knock knees. I had those, what do they call faces? Paces. Paces, faces, pimples. I was in the P stream. P stream at school. P. A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, A, M, N, O, P. Are you laughing, eh? Yeah. When I used to walk down the corridor, these guys with their big blazers, they looked like four-star generals. They used to push us off the walkway. I was a nothing. I was a no one. Headmaster said to my mom, take him out of school. He'll never amount to anything. I hope I meet that headmaster in heaven one day. I want to ask him, how many books did you write? That was naughty. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. Come on, give the Lord a clap. When I was at Mighty Men, Kurua, a bishop, a black man, Bishop of Port Elizabeth came to see me after the meeting, put his arms around me, hugged me. He said, we want you in Soweto. I said, I'm ready. I'm going to go wherever God sends me, but I haven't finished with the campuses yet. And I'm telling you, I want to prophesy. In this very auditorium here tonight, there are people in this auditorium that are going to run this country in 10 years' time from now. You watch and see. 10 years. You've got a responsibility. God's given you an opportunity, son. Don't waste it. Don't waste it on drinking and womanizing. And young lady, don't go and sell yourself, man, to become popular. The girls that get pregnant are normally the innocent girls. The clever ones never get pregnant. And half the stuff that they tell you is lies. When they tell you they're sleeping with this guy, they're not sleeping with anybody. And you're so gullible and you want to be accepted. I know. I've got three daughters of my own and two sons. Don't go there. From tonight, say to your boyfriend, tonight, when you leave this place, you say to him, no more. It's finished. If you sleep with anybody that's not your husband or your wife, you're a fornicator, according to that book. And fornicators are destined for hell, according to that book. I'm not saying that. God says that. The Ten Commandments were not put in place for God. He doesn't have to obey the Ten Commandments. He's God. They put in place for you and me. And when you find the meaning of life, you cannot sleep with that girl if she's not your wife. You cannot sleep with that boy if he's not your husband. We need to do it. I'm talking about the meaning of life. When I've fallen in love with somebody, he's a carpenter's son from Nazareth. I'm in love with him, man. And every time I want to do something I know it's wrong, I can't do it because I'm hurting him. If you don't know him personally, then you couldn't care. See? I want to challenge you tonight to stand up in a minute's time and say, Lord, I make a proclamation tonight. I make a covenant tonight, Lord. I'm going to start obeying this book. You'll see your life change. That young girl, I can see her. She's somewhere here. She says, Uncle Angus, if I go home and I tell him that I can't sleep with him anymore, we're going to break up. Break up! He doesn't love you. Sorry, my sweetheart. He's using you. He's using you, I'm telling you. If he loves you, he'll wait until the wedding day. Same thing applies the other way around. You need to start to get right. I'm talking about very simple things, but they're profound. They change lives. I'm sick and tired of hearing about divorce. I'm sick of it. Jesus says, I hate divorce. And I'm sick and tired of hearing Christians getting divorced. There's nothing in this book that justifies that. Gotta work through it, man. Go home and sit down and talk about it. Get on your knees. That's what we tell the boys at Mighty Men. Do the kneeling thing. Ask for forgiveness. And start again. Then you'll see your life transformed. This Christian walk is not for sissies, eh? This takes courage. Takes commitment. Takes discipline. Takes self-denial. Then we're going to see revival in this country. This country will be transformed in an instant. I want to finish because I believe we've got another meeting just now. But I'm concerned about you. You see, I want to tell you something. Some of you here tonight, I will never see again in this life. I cannot leave here tonight with your blood on my hands. Because when I stand before my master, he's going to ask me, why did you not tell him the truth, Angus, the whole truth? And but Lord, I didn't want to offend them. It's not about offense, it's about life. See, I was down in Malmesbury a couple of weeks ago. I was preaching on the rugby field. I said the exact same thing I'm saying to you tonight. I challenged those people to come forward, and that whole crowd came forward, and we prayed the sinner's prayer like I'm going to do in a few minutes' time again. For some, a recommitment, for others, first time. You know what happened? 3 or 4 days later, the man that picked me up at the airport, he's a lovely guy. His name's Kurt Klaasens. A big farmer from Delmas. He's farming in Malmesbury now. He's got 4 daughters and a son. They're all farming. All the daughters are married. Phoned me up one afternoon. He was crying on the phone. I said, what's wrong, Kurt? He said, oh, Angus, please, man, pray for us as a family. My son went out hunting yesterday. Shot a buck. Put his rifle on the seat. Got out the buck. He closed the door to cut the animal's throat or to skin it. The gun fell off the seat, ignited, the bullet went through the door and shot him through the heart. He's dead, 29 years old. Another man phoned up, well, Angus, please pray for my friends. He's just ridden over his 6-year-old daughter and killed her, a farmer. Life is very, very precious. And life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We don't have time, auntie. Listen to me. A good friend of mine, her husband was an alcoholic. Used to come home every night drunk. She was so sick of it, man. And the one night he came home, we know them from Great Town. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he fell into his bed, half drunk, well, completely drunk. She turned over and she said, I wish you'd die. She woke up in the morning, her husband's lying next to her, and she shook him, he was dead. That woman battled to get over that. She said, Angus, I can't say sorry, I didn't mean it. It was just something that came out. Death is final. Tonight we need to make a decision in this place. I'm not talking about the South African government. I'm not talking about anything. I can't change that, but I can, by the grace of God, we can change your life. We can bring joy in your life, purpose, vision, visi, reason to get up in the morning. I didn't feel like getting up this morning. I'll be honest with you, getting on that plane. But you know why? I love you. Why? Because God gave me a love for you. I don't condemn you. I love you. I see you sitting there just like me. Is there any hope for us? Of course. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is klaar. It is finished. He's in heaven. He's listening to us right now. In fact, he's right in this meeting. And he's saying there's enough people in this auditorium to change this nation. From the inside out. The most powerful force in the world is love. When somebody hits you and says, you give him, Jesus says, give him the other one. Hit him from the other side. When he says, carry the load, carry it twice. Eventually, you'll break down and you'll say, I want what you got. See, when somebody comes to you and says, I want what you've got, that's it. Game, set, and match. But you can tell people you're going to go to hell and you're useless and you're the drunkard and they'll just get worse. But when you start living life because you found the meaning of life, which is what? The meaning of life, number one, is to glorify God. Number two is to enjoy Him forever. When they see you walk into that lecture room and you say, good morning. They say, what happened to you? That's exactly what happened to me. Playing polo cross. I was a polo cross player. It's rugby on horseback. I got saved. The next weekend I was reffing behind the posts, man. And my friend, Yanni Barnard, he came to me. I was just reffing. I didn't say a word. He says, Angus, what's happened? I said, what do you mean, Yanni? Angus, there's something different. Oh, hallelujah. I said, really? He said, Angus, you're not the same, man. You're so happy. He says, your eyes are sparkling. I said, Yanni, do you want to run? Do you want to know? Do you want to know what the meaning of life is? He said, please, Angus, I want it. I want it. Tomorrow afternoon in my green cathedral, my Millilands, I said, we'll talk. He came down at 4 o'clock. I'd only known the Lord a week. I said, Jill, I don't know what to do. So I found a little book called 4 Spiritual Laws. And I put them in my pocket. I never used them. Yanni arrived. He was sweating. He was nervous. I was sweating. I was half crying, laughing. I didn't know what to do. I'm saying, Lord, help me. He says, just open your mouth and I'll fill it. We walked into the Millies. If you'd watched, you would have laughed, son. I'm saying, now, Yanni, do you mean this? He says, I do mean it. That's why I'm here. Now, you realize this is for real. Angus, I know. Get on with it. I want what you got. I said, are you sure? He says, I'm dead sure. And then we broke down, the two of us, and we started to cry. And I took him in my arms, and we hugged each other. And I said, pray this prayer after me. I can't even remember what I prayed. Yanni's life was transformed. 2 years later, Yanni died in a car crash. He's in heaven. He's waiting for me. When people see that you found the meaning of life, auntie, they'll say, I want what you've got. Would you like to pray that prayer with me? Would you like to pray this evening in public with your eyes open, everybody looking around saying, from tonight onwards, I don't understand everything in this book. Billy Graham said that, but I choose to believe. Some things don't make sense, but I'm going to believe it. And then, sir, all of a sudden, you've got power, authority, strength, joy, peace, patience, prosperity, whatever you want to call it, man. I'm the most prosperous man in this place, man. But so many children, grandchildren, took me to Levende Woord the other day for the 40th anniversary. They flew in with a big helicopter, cleared the car park. Can you imagine them talking about me then? Especially when they saw the big silver belt. But you know, that helicopter didn't belong to me. It was a man who took me there. God will not be mocked by anybody. He says, if you put me first in your life tonight, I'll take care of the rest. Would you like to pray that prayer with me? If you would, can you please stand up? Stand up. Can the music team come up to the top? Yeah. We're just going to pray, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye because we're going to start again. But you're welcome to stay for the second one. That would be so great. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. First the Jew and then the Gentile. You see what keeps us mana back? What? Pride. Pride. Stinking, arrogant pride. It's pride that kept got the devil kicked out of heaven. Pride. Oh, I'm not going to do that. You won't catch me doing that. Really? Well, then you're going to stay there. Not me. No more. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The meaning of life. So we're going to pray. Is that okay? And I want you to pray loud. And when you leave this meeting tonight, I want you to tell the first three people tomorrow morning, I have found the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? Number one. Say it again. What is the meaning of life? Number one. Number two. Oh, hallelujah. Well, smile, man. Oh, I love you so much. You know, often when I come onto this platform, I think, Lord, what's going to happen today? Because I don't know what's going to happen. All kinds of things have happened to me, madam. People have shaken their fist at me. I don't mind that. People have shouted at me. They've heckled. I don't mind that, son. You know, one thing I can't handle when the guy looks at his watch. I can't handle that. Are you ready for that prayer? Hold hands with the person next to you, because that's your brother. That's your sister across the aisle. Those are people you're going to spend eternity with. It's all right. And we're going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to pray it in English. Pray this prayer after me, please. And I want you to really think about this. The first three people tomorrow morning. First three. You tell them, I found the meaning of life. And son, if you do that, you'll never stop. That's what I did. On the 18th of February, 1979, exactly what you're doing now. Next morning, we're going to a stock sale. I said to Ian, Ian, I've given my life to Jesus. His face went pale. He said, Angus, I'm so happy for you. I said, what about you, Ian? He said, I can't do that. 2 years later, Saturday afternoon in my farm office, doing my records, phone rang. Angus, help, help. I said, I'm coming, Ian. Came to his farm on the carpet in his lounge with his wife and kids. He gave his life to the Lord. Ian Walls is with Jesus now. He died of cancer a few years after that. Don't miss an opportunity. And the more you tell people, the more you cement your faith. Don't be of those that are blowing in the wind. There's no place in the kingdom of God for fair weather Christians. We serve the Lord. Nomakanja. Come what may, we serve Him. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, let's start again. Dear Lord Jesus, this evening I make a covenant with You. I repent of all my sin, especially the sin of unbelief. Please forgive me for doubting Your word, for doubting Your promises. From tonight onwards, I make a decision to believe in the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation that it is You in print. I will serve no other masters. I will serve no other gods. And I desire tonight to live according to Your statutes in Your word. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Give the Lord a big clap, please. Big one. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.